in Ephesians chapter 1. It says that the same power that brought Christ alive from the dead is the same power that works in us. Paul said, I want to know this power. I want to know this power that helps me to walk victorious over sin. I want to know this power that helps me to get up and live every day this life that God has called me to live. I want to know this power that causes me to get up and spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer. I want to know this power that when co-workers talk about me and put me down, that I'm able to let it roll off my back like water off a duck's back. I want to know this power. I want to know this power that helps me to overcome these besetting sins that seek to grab me and pull me down. I want to know this power that gives me victory to live and walk daily.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Christ Likeness, a goal for this year and every year. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Christ Likeness, a goal for this year and every year.
Though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I know that there's a lot to be desired. And so, you know, the person that thinks that they have arrived won't strive to be like Christ. But if I know that I haven't arrived, you know, there's something about almost like a junkie. You know, when a junkie gets a fix, it only satisfies for a little while. And then they need some more to satisfy a little while. And then they need some more. And you know, we should be, not junkies, but we should be hungering and thirsting. And that when we get a drink, it only satisfies us for a little while. Because we're right back after hungering and thirsting again. Paul says, at the minute I think that I've got this thing nailed down, the minute that I think I look like Christ, then I need to smash it. Right? The minute I think I look like Christ, I need to smash it and I need to start all over again. That's what God is looking for. Paul says that if you ever get to that place where you think that you've attained, if you ever get to the place where you think you're perfect, then you're no good. You're no good. I heard on my way to church this morning, I was listening to this program, and this minister on the radio, he said that the number one person in every church that should be the greatest repenter is the pastor. I said, whoa. And I began to think about, you know, and I just say, you know, he is right. You know, just this repentance. That, you know, as a pastor, you know, you can't think that you've arrived. That there has to be that brokenness and that desire every day. Lord, maybe I didn't do all that I needed to do yesterday, but Lord, you've given me a chance to get it right today, Lord. And I repent of the things that I failed, Lord. I repent of how I might have not functioned in this relationship like I should have. I had to ask a brother to forgive me this morning. And I was supposed to meet with the brother. And he showed up. And I wasn't even ready. I said, man, forgive me, man. I said, I apologize. I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's things like that. Not that we blow them off, but it's things like that that remind us. Well, that remind me. Hey, baby, you haven't arrived, man. You haven't arrived. You're not perfect. And so we need to have that attitude of repentance whenever we come up short. Because we're going to come up short. And so the second thing that Paul lets us know in this passage is that how do you turn learning into likeness? Well, first of all, you know, you can't think that you already arrived. Because the minute that you do, then you're going to stop. So if you want to be like Christ, every day you got to say that this is my goal. This is my aim. The second thing you got to do is that you got to pursue Christ's likeness with a passion. You've got to pursue it with a passion. Look what Paul says here in verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after. After what? What is he following after? Well, go back, read verse 10. To know Christ, to know his power, to know his passion. That's what I'm following after. And the idea here is that I'm following hard after it. Now, this is very interesting. He goes on, look, oh man, look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Now, here's where we might get a little confused. Say, well, now what in the world is Paul talking about here? That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now you look at it and say, now what in the world is he talking about here? Well, that word apprehend, you know what it means? It means to take down. You know what it means? Let's go back to the Steeler game last night. It means to what? To tackle. It means to take down the running back. It means to take down the quarterback. It means to take down the wide receiver. The word means to take down. Paul says here, he says, I follow after that I may take down that which was also taken down, that I am taken down of Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Paul had the football, and he was running for a touchdown on the Damascus Road. Look, he had the ball, right? Verse 1. And Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him the football, that he could run to Damascus and score a bunch of touchdowns, that he might bring men and women and bring them out bound to Jerusalem. And as he was at the 30, the 40, the 50, the 40, the 30, he might go all the way. And Jesus Christ came and took him down. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven, and he was what? Taken down. Jesus Christ tackled him. He took him down. So what does Paul say? He said, the same way that I was tackled, the same way that Christ took me down, that I want to run and take others down. That's my passion, that I want to run and take others down, and I want to look like Christ. This is my goal. This is my desire. And so, my brothers and sisters, where do you have that passion? This is the passion that Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about this passion that Jesus Christ tackled him with, that he wanted to tackle Christ. He wanted to look like Christ. Every day when I get up, I should want to take Christ down. I should want to catch it. Now, see, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. That you're not going to catch up with Christ. You're not going to catch up. The man already told you, not that I have apprehended, not that I have attained. But every day, what am I doing? I'm running. I'm trying to take him down every day. And you're never going to catch Christ. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing of about it. You're not going to catch him. But Paul said that every day I'm running to tackle him. Every day I'm running to look like him. Because if you catch him, then you'll be what? Perfect. And then it's what? It's time for you to go on to heaven. So that's what I'm saying. You'll never catch him. But every day we ought to get out there and start running. every day, man, we ought to say, today I want to take Christ down. Today is going to be the day where I take him down. We're not going to take him down like that verse I told you earlier where it says that when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall. Then that's when we're going to catch him. That's when we're going to grab him and take him down. And not that we take him down, but then at that point we look like him. But until then, we keep going on. How's your passion? Do you wake up every morning with a passion to pursue Christ? Or do you wake up with other pursuits on your mind? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you get up in the morning? See, for many of us, so many other things crowd out that passion. But we need to pray, and we need to ask God to put that passion in our heart to want to take down Jesus Christ, to want to tackle Christ every day that I'm pursuing him. And then the last thing that I want to say is this. How do you turn learning into likeness? Keep a picture of Christ in your wallet. Keep a picture of Christ in your wallet. Well, what am I saying? No, not physically take a picture and put it in there. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But throughout the day, we ought to be able to pull up something in our mind that reminds us that we're trying to pursue Jesus Christ. That it's almost like when you see somebody and you haven't seen them for a long time and they have grandkids, you know, what's the first thing they want to do? They want to show you a picture. Let me show you a picture, my family. Let me show you a picture. Well, see, like I said, it might not be a physical picture, but somewhere we ought to be able to pull up and say, let me look at Jesus. Let me look at Jesus. I got his picture in my wallet. Let me look at Jesus. And as we look at Jesus, I want to say a couple things. The first thing that we need to have, a single-minded focus. Look what he says. Get back to my passage again. Keep changing. Philippians chapter 3. Look what he says here. He says, brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Let's stop right there. One thing. Paul did a bunch of things. He wrote many books in the New Testament. He started a bunch of churches. He discipled Timothy. He ministered in the synagogue. Paul did a lot of things. So he says what? This one thing I do. What is the one thing? To look like Christ. This one thing, he was single-minded in his pursuit. Even though he had a bunch of irons in the fire, his purpose was single. His focus was narrow. He said one thing. Because, see, if my focus is to look like Christ every day, then all these other things, man, are going to just, man, it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be so beautiful. If I'm focusing on looking like Christ, that when I go to my job, I'm trying to look like Jesus. It kills me, man, when I hear people say, oh, man, you know, so-and-so, they say they're a Christian. You know, the biggest hypocrite in the world. You know, man, I can't believe that they try to, you know, look at them. They say that they're a Christian. I think that's not to say that we don't all lose it at some point in time. But sad to say, man, that's some people's testimony on a frequent basis, you know? And it's just a shame when, you know, people begin. Now, if you're being persecuted, like I said, is one thing. But who is it? Peter. He said, if you're persecuted, let it be because you're serving the Lord and not because of something that you did. Let me repeat that. If you're being persecuted, don't let it be because of something that Let it be because you were serving Christ and not because something that you did. And if we think about this whole idea of going on our job and trying to look like Jesus, man, we'll blow people's mind. Because that's the average workplace, that's not the testimony. People are not trying to look like Jesus on the job. Man, it's a dog-eat-dog world. No matter where you work at, it's dog-eat-dog. And there's people that's not trying to look like Jesus. But here you come, man, you are like a breath of fresh air that you sweep in there and you're trying to look like Jesus. I'm not saying you don't have problems, but you're trying to look like Jesus. I'm not saying that you don't get upset every now and then, but you try to look like Jesus. I'm not saying that you don't have issues, but you're trying to look like Jesus. That's my goal. That's what I'm trying to do. You know, every day when I go to health club, I'm trying to look like Jesus. I'm trying to look like him. I'm not trying to fit in. There's a whole lot of people that's trying to fit in. I want people to say, man, there's something different about this guy. There's something different. As I look at his life, there's something different about him. Why? Because he's single focused. He's doing a lot of things. He goes here, he goes there, but he's single focused. Paul said, there's one thing I do. Look at the next thing. He's single-minded focused. And not only that, he's forward-looking focused. He says, brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul looked ahead. He was not trying to look over his shoulder, but he realized that if he was going to pursue Christ, you know, when you think about where's Christ at? You know, Hebrews chapter 12 tells you where Christ is. Where is he at? Looking where? Unto Jesus. He's up here. You looking back? I heard about a runner who had set the pace and set the record for the mile. And the next week, another person came and broke the record. And so these guys ran in the same race. And the guy who broke the record, he was running. But he always had in the back of his mind, where's the other guy at? Where is he at? Where is he at? And as he came closer to the finish line, he asked the question, where's he at? Where's he at? And all of a sudden, he looked over his shoulder, and guess what happened? He ran right by him. Ran right by him. You got to keep looking ahead. You know, man, I might fail. I might mess up royally. But that's when I got to get on my knees, and I got to confess it, and I got to do what? I got to shake it off, and I got to get back out there, and I got to keep looking. I can't look back at my failure from yesterday. I can't look back and see where I messed up yesterday. Now, if there's some restitution I got to make because of that, then I go make the restitution. But after I do that, man, I'm back in the race again. I'm moving ahead. A lot of people, man, they get messed up, and they look back, and then they sit down, and they stop, and they just sit down, and they look back. Don't stay there. Paul said, man, I'm pursuing Christ-likeness, and my look is always ahead. I read an interesting story in the Daily Bread. Let me share it with you. In the Daily Bread, there's a powerful illustration entitled Seeing or Remembering. There's a story about a man who was slowly losing his memory. After an examination, the doctor said that an operation on his brain might reverse his condition and restore his memory. However, the surgery would be so delicate that a nerve might be severed, causing total blindness. What would you rather have? Asked the surgeon. Your sight or your memory? The man pondered the question for a few minutes and then replied, my sight. Because I would rather see where I'm going than remember where I have been. I like that. I'd rather see where I'm going than remember where I have been. That's powerful. Are you looking ahead? Yeah, we may have things in our past that we got to straighten out, but straighten them out. Straighten them out, deal with them. And then look forward, look ahead. Then there's the downward focus. Verse 13, he said, I press toward the mark. Let me stop there. Now, almost done. I press toward the mark. Very interesting. That word, toward, in the Greek, actually is the word down. I press down the mark. What in the world? What are you saying, Paul? I press down. Well, here's the idea. Is that if somebody is ahead of me and I'm running after them, then what do they say? I'm closing down on him. Well, I'm closing the distance. I'm narrowing the gap. Paul said, when I first got saved, Jesus was way over there. He was still running, but he was way over there. But guess what? Every day, I'm closing the gap. I'm closing the gap. Every day, I get a little closer. I remember I was watching National Geographic, and they showed this impala that was running from this lion. And it first started out, man, this impala, he was getting up in the wind. He was getting up in the wind. And that lion was closed the distance down. I'm not going to finish it because there's kids in the audience. And I can't believe that they showed what happened to that impala. But that lion closed the gap. He closed the gap. Paul said that I'm bearing down on Jesus Christ. He said, I'm bearing down, that I'm getting closer every day. And then finally, there's the upward focus. You know, he said, Paul says, single-minded. He says, downward focus, the forward focus. But look what he says here, verse 13. I press down toward the mark for the what? The prize of the what? The high calling. Right? I'm pressing down for what? The high call. I'm closing in on the high call. The high call. What is the high call? It's the call that comes from heaven for you to be like Jesus Christ. God calls from heaven for you to be like Jesus Christ. And you know, the thing about this call is that as I'm single-minded and focused, right? As I'm forward-focused, as I'm pressing down, guess what? All the time, guess what? I'm on a slant, right? Oh, y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. Ooh, that was good. Y'all missed that one. I'm single-focused. I'm forward-focused. I'm closing down. But all the time, I'm what? I'm going up. I'm going up. Because I'm getting closer to Christ. That I'm getting higher. I'm elevating. And I'm able to live the life that God has called me to live. Thank God that every day we can purpose in our heart to be like Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Christ Likeness, a goal for this year and every year, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Christ Likeness, a goal for this year and every year. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Christ Likeness, a goal for this year and every year, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.